And we're live. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. I'm your host, Sarah Crystal from Endless Events, and I am super excited about our topic today. It's been a while for me to come and do an Event Icons with you guys live. I know we keep publishing them. We were kind of too ahead of schedule. So now we're in our regularly scheduled programming, and I'm so excited to have everyone back. So if you are tuning in live, please feel free to ask questions. Those do get pushed forward to us no matter what social media platform you are on. If you're watching this recorded, welcome. We're happy to have you here as well. And yeah, let's go ahead and jump right on in. So today we have an awesome guest with us. Deanna has worked on fundraisers, conferences, trade shows, and other events ranging in size from 10 to 20,000 attendees for almost 20 years and in the hospitality industry since 2000. Taking care of clients and creating an ideal attendee experience is almost second nature to her and driving force behind all of her work. As an event strategist, Deanna now focuses more on facilitating the front of house experience for attendees through moderating, emceeing, public speaking, even joining on Event Icons, while providing clients some limited behind the scenes logistics support as well. So please welcome to the Event Icon stage, Deanna Wosu.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share Hashtag Event Icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is Hashtag Event Icons.
Hi, Deanna.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Sarah. I feel like I need you to introduce me everywhere I go. So you can be like my personal introducer everywhere.
You're hype woman.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, I'm trying to work on that. Introductions, I feel like, are very important. So I'm trying to give everyone the definite credit and just all the, you know, letters behind your name too. Obviously shows your authority in this space, being a CMP and a DES. So we're so excited to have you on today.
Thank you.
Awesome. So I do want to share to Deanna's LinkedIn. I do follow her and she posts awesome stuff. So I just put that in the chat for anyone who's interested in connecting with her. But yeah, we have a really awesome topic today, which I'm excited to get into. It's a really common practice, I feel like, for event planners to, especially now, to just kind of reprioritize. We're constantly thinking about the future, thinking about what this industry and the space is going to look like. It feels like it's changing every day, which is great. I love to see the progression. But we have a really great topic today about why event planners need an entrepreneurial spirit. So before we get into the topic, I do want to ask Deanna how you kind of got into this event space. I feel like it's very different for everyone. So if you could just talk a little bit about your experience and then maybe how you've incorporated that entrepreneurial spirit recently or even throughout your career.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. So I have been in events since 2007. I've been in hospitality, like I said, since 2000. When I was in college, I actually started volunteering with a few extracurricular activities that involved some event-related work, and I was a business major. So I decided pretty early on that this was kind of the path I wanted to take. So right out of school, I worked for an association for a few years as their meeting coordinator, working on some smaller events and supporting our large annual meeting and educational conference in conjunction with a large trade show. Fast forward to 2015, I was in the corporate space. So I was working on more B2B events with a group that was based in the UK, did about 10 to 12 large conferences a year for them. And most recently I was with a construction software firm and I was their in-house planner working on their conferences, but also coordinating third-party events, field marketing events. We did about 40 to 50 a year between conferences and trade shows, sending out our sales team. I've also kind of worked some part-time roles and when I was in school, in high school. I've worked on the venue side. I've worked for a hotel. I've worked for a national park that had rental space. And I've also worked on the vendor side for a florist and event decorator. So I feel like I really have kind of a holistic experience in terms of the viewpoints I've worked with the industry. Other than maybe working for an event tech firm like yourself, Sarah. but that's a whole other beast with a whole different set of skills that, you know, I don't know if I would want to wade in those waters.
Yes, I know. Technology can definitely, and production, all of it can be very overwhelming. So,
right.
But besides that, it seems like you've touched absolutely every other part of the industry, which is amazing. And I think definitely kind of gives you, you know, that full 360 perspective to kind of share about this topic specifically. You definitely have the knowledge of, you know, kind of what it takes to be successful in this space. Mm-hmm. So I think first to just kind of break it down, what does the entrepreneurial spirit mean to you? And how is maybe that different than what event planners, how they kind of go about their normal event planning job as it is right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of an entrepreneurial spirit, I think most people just assume that that means going out and starting your own business or being a freelancer or side hustling and finding new ways of revenue. But I don't necessarily equate that with entrepreneurial spirit. Yes, additional streams of revenue is great. And, you know, if you want to own your own business, that's wonderful too, but that's not the path for everyone. To me, an entrepreneurial spirit is really about thriving wherever you're placed, wherever, you know, you're planted, whether that be in a full-time position for a company or whether you have a side hustle and you find ways of, exploring your gifts and talents in other ways, or if it's starting your own company. So I really see an entrepreneurial spirit being identifying opportunities and, you know, making the most of them. So again, that can be in a full-time role, that could be on your own. It also, to me, entails bouncing back from setbacks, which, you know, I think 2020 was just one giant setback from everyone. And like I mentioned before, just thriving wherever you're placed. So if you are in a full-time role, not letting that role limit your opportunities. So, you know, maybe in your position, you're not able to tap into all the skill sets that you want to, finding opportunities to do that, whether that's at your job, finding ways to raise your hand for opportunities that will help you develop that skill set. Or if it's outside of your position in volunteer capacities, networking opportunities, you know, with industry organizations, or maybe it is through a side job or a hobby or things of that nature. So it's really more so not letting your environment dictate what you do with your career.
Ooh, I love how that was phrased. It sounds like kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. It's someone like a, you know, a jack of all trades, or they have all these tools that they can pull from. And I feel like there's never really that answer of, oh, I don't know how to do that. Because, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you have to learn how to do that. You kind of have to know a little bit of everything. Right. So it is interesting to kind of pull from those, you know, different areas as well. So when we kind of talk about that in the event planning space, what do you think that looks like with that? The future of work and maybe some of those skill sets specifically that planners will need to kind of adopt moving forward to stay successful and stay ahead of the curve?
I think it's really going to take looking outside the traditional roles that we've had in our industry and the traditional job titles. I know for myself, early on, you know, as a baby meeting coordinator, what I envisioned the future of my career was, you know, gradually take steps to jobs that, you know, were bigger events with more logistics, more complex details, and then eventually to the point where I'm, you know, event director, I have a team under me that, you know, is working on the different tasks and I'm leading, spearheading the charge. And through the course of like my career journey, I've realized that sometimes things aren't necessarily linear, right? And especially in light of the pandemic, I feel like that's really shifted the skill sets required for event professionals. I think we are traditionally very generalist. And in, you know, the last 18 months, we were all expected to be virtual experts. And that's just not reality, right? I think, you know, companies like Endless are great because they are experts at the tech, you know, so I think we can learn as event professionals, finding ways to focus on what are the skill sets that are our bread and butter, our, you know, tried and true. These are the things that we're really good at, and not trying to spread ourselves so thin and be an expert at something. So, you know, as the saying says, you can be a jack of all trades or a master of none, right? So I think it's really important that we just kind of find ways to look at roles that might be a little different than what we're used to, as opposed to the standard event manager, event producer role. And they still exist. I'm not saying that, you know, the industry's changing overnight, but I think being open to different ways of working on events, working on events, that may not be what the, you know, the traditional path has been.
Oh, I love that you said that. Cause I think too, I mean, just being a younger person in this event space too, I think it's exciting for that next generation too, to kind of think about, okay, what is that path going to look like? And maybe it is nonlinear. And especially as we kind of get away from doing events just for the sake of doing events, and they do become more intentional and have more of that strategy behind them, it is exciting to kind of think about, you know, what these roles are going to transition into. So just kind of thinking of maybe, you know, other business operations or different departments, what do you think of the event planner role might roll into if it's not this producer type role that we're used to really seeing?
Well, I think we can kind of look to the past and look to the future. So the meetings industry, the event industry, in terms of a meeting planner position or event planner position, that's relatively new. A lot of our predecessors, you know, the veterans of our industry, they fell into event coordination. They were administrative people. They were in content and education. And those event duties kind of became an add-on to their roles. And then from there, these roles of meeting planner, event planner really were created from there. I think we can look to the tech space. They've done a great job of creating these positions that are somewhat on the newer end of the spectrum that do have event related work, but they definitely are more niche down and not as general as a traditional event role. For example, field marketing, looking at demand gen generation, those roles are very sales lead focused, but they have event related work to it. So it's really being marketing forward and events as kind of a backseat to that skill set. You can look in the events, you can look in education space and those who are working on curriculum design and training and things of that nature. Sometimes they've had to take on logistical work as well because they're planning conferences or workshops and they have to coordinate the details with that too. But maybe it's being more about professional development and people that are working in the education space and then also have the event related logistical details as well. You could also look into, again, this is somewhat marketing related, but the community management. Those roles are popping up every day in terms of focusing on the social media, but also customer service, keeping that relationship with your customers and your loyalists, those who are going to be the evangelists for your brand, and creating events out of that community. So community management is definitely, I feel like that's a role that's on the rise. And I think now that we're kind of shifting into this hybrid model, and with a lot of the virtual events, those who are in the TV and film space definitely have a leg up on the rest of us who are logistics first. So if you're looking for like hybrid roles, maybe those who are film producers, TV producers, executive producers on news shows. One of my former colleagues at a place I used to work actually was an Emmy award-winning news producer. And then she came onto the staff as a conference producer because a lot of the skill sets were the same. However, she is also fully versed in, you know, directing camera angles and cutting to different shots and things of that nature. So there's a wide variety of where we can go with our roles, but it's just kind of being open and looking to those other industries. I think associations are probably the I hate to say it, but they're definitely the ones that are furthest behind the times. Mm. You look at a lot of the job descriptions and they have not changed in 20 years. And that's just, they're not looking at the reality of the industry as it stands today. So that would be my suggestion, is maybe look to those other industries in these careers that exist and maybe aren't as traditional as what we're used to.
Oh, I love that you said that. And yeah, we always love a nice controversial claim, but always also just, you know, like a push forward and just like a call to action of, you know, let's think of things differently. I love that you said that too, because it is kind of just getting away from, again, like that, just, you know, planning events, just to plan events, and you're focusing on the specific thing that you want to change. If it is demand gen, awesome. I love that that's the focus. If it is building a community, again, like having that focus, when you think of roles and titles, it might seem arbitrary, you know, and just to have a role description, but those really are important. And it's the exact same thing as having, you know, a vision or a mission statement for your business. It's mm-hmm. kind of that driving thing every day where you wake up and you're like, okay, this is what I do. Right. So rather than it just being a producer, it's awesome to be like, oh no, I'm building a community today. That mm-hmm. is my sole focus. So I love that you mentioned that. And also just that we, you know, Endless has done the same thing. We're trying to add roles all the time of like, okay, we really need someone that is so good at implementing things and the technical side of things. So yeah, we're kind of creating these types of new roles that are really exciting, but still very much in the event space. And we even did a training today on control rooms, and the amount of things that go into the behind the scenes is truly insane. And again, like you were mentioning, it's, you know, going to be a very different set of skills than someone that is very logistics heavy. It is very, you know, technical and a lot of fast moving parts. And, you know, some things, sometimes you don't always think of it, but in, you know, the continuation of hybrid and virtual events, studios, and, you know, the behind the scenes of that are just going to continue to escalate. So it's awesome that you mentioned, you know, looking to other industries that do this really well, look for an Emmy award winning person to join your team. And maybe then you'll see some great success. So mm-hmm. yeah, just great points all around. And just kind of overall, I want to ask maybe your opinion on what companies can do to try to maybe hire for some of these roles, or what you can do if you're already in the event space, you're an event producer, and you kind of want to get more niche with your role. What advice would you have to event planners that are in either of those positions?
Yeah, I think from a hiring perspective, if companies, similar to kind of what I just mentioned, looking at what else is out there and not just taking the job title as it was 5 years ago, the last time you hired that person, and just rinse and repeat, but really evaluating what your business needs are today, right? Events have changed a lot in terms of the demand, depending on what industry you're in. You know, certain industries, they're back face to face, like they never took a break off, and others are going to be slower to come back to full in-person meeting. So in the interim, what is the role that you really need? What is the position that needs filled? Having flexibility when you're meeting with candidates, that, you know, if they give you some pushback on some of the job description, if there's a business case behind it, being open to kind of changing the description as it's written. I think a lot of times producers, event planners are glorified order takers, and the other duties as assigned can just kind of be a catch-all bucket for a lot of random junk. And so I think hiring managers need to be really fine-tuned and detail-oriented when you are posting descriptions, that it's really what you need and not just, this is what event planners do. What does your business need today? Because what you needed 5 years ago when you hired an event planner may be totally different than it is today. And I think in terms of those who are in the job market, first, I want to say my heart and prayers go out to you, because it's hard. You know, everyone's talking about the labor shortage. That doesn't mean it's necessarily easy to just go and get a job, right?
Right.
It doesn't just really translate. And a lot of those labor shortages are for frontline workers who work in hotels and restaurants. And if you're an event producer, that's not necessarily your role, right? But if you are in the job market and interviewing, I think you need to have those conversations up front And I think sometimes as candidates, we are fearful of rocking the boat because we just want to get the job. We don't want to offend. We don't want to reduce our chances of getting hired. But honestly, if you don't have that conversation up front and everyone's on the same page, you know, before you're on board, then you really don't have a leg to stand on a year from now when you realize that your job duties are too wide and varied, right? You've got to nip it in the bud early. So having that conversation, if you're looking at a job description that, you know, for example, one of the networking groups I'm in, someone posted a job description from a pretty well-known association and everyone's response was, those are two different jobs. They've combined two different jobs into this one job description. And so being open, being willing to have that conversation with the hiring managers, it's hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it that, you know, just say that they're kind of unrealistic. No, I think if you come to it with from a business perspective of what are your goals with this position? You know, are your goals revenue? Are your goals member retention? What are your goals with this position? And if that's the case, this position needs to focus on A, B, and C, because focusing on D, E, and F is going to dilute A, B, and C. It's going to dilute the mission at hand. So I think as candidates and as employees, well, let's say you're currently employed, you realize your current position is too diluted, too watered down, come with a business case scenario for why your job description should change, why your job duties should change, in terms of things that maybe the company just shouldn't be doing at all, because it's antiquated or just there's no ROI, there's no value in it. Or if it's job duties that maybe another coworker would be better handling because they'll be more efficient at it, it'll take them less time to do it, you'll be able to focus your attention on other job duties that are going to generate more revenue, save costs, be more efficient. But again, if you're coming from a business case, it's much more difficult for your managers and team leaders to kind of brush you aside if it's coming from this is what's best for the business.
Exactly. Oh, that is so true. And no one's going to be successful if they're stretched too thin. So I love just, you know, being able to stand up for yourself and, you know, not letting the job description necessarily dictate what you have to do and kind of being able to speak up for yourself. It's definitely very empowering. And I love that you are encouraging people to look at it this way. Mm-hmm. And as someone who graduated from business school, I love that you bring up, you know, these business, you know, facts behind it too. It's not just, oh, I don't feel that that's a right role for me. It's, you know, less based on feeling, lots of facts, lots of data-driven metrics. And I think someone that wants the best for their company cannot argue with something that, you know, is pretty cut and dry and you have things to back it up. So mm-hmm. I love that you're, you know, encouraging people to look at that as well. Look at other examples, look at other industries. Again, yeah, I think it's just very empowering to people who maybe feel stuck or stretched thin in their roles. So I think that's a great message to share with everyone.
Yeah.
Obviously you're very well versed in the event space. So just in a more general sense, I like to just kind of as a second to last question, ask where you see the event industry, whether that be, you know, in 5 years or even 10 years. During COVID, I asked what you think it's going to look like next year. But yeah, I like to even push people's minds to just think of this ever evolving thing and what you think the future, is going to look like.
Yeah, I think we've been in a experience economy for several years now, and that's just going to continue. But like the rise of communities, you know, kind of as you mentioned, Sarah, that you're managing with Endless, I think it's going to be a lot more user, client, member-driven experiences. Whether they are meeting and congregating on their own and the brand just kind of is a bystander and kind of observing, or they are clamoring for, hey, we want this experience and the brand gives, you know, what's requested. But I think that's what's going to be where we go in the next 5 years or so, that things are going to be more created based on direct demand from your audience or your community, whatever that looks like. And not only is it going to be generated based on that demand, but they're going to be more involved in the creation, the content creation, the agenda creation, designing the experience. That's kind of the key of customization, right? Is allowing your user to be a part of the creation, allowing your user to really kind of mold their experience and customize it as they go. So how better of a way to do that, but invite them into the behind the scenes process of putting it together. A similar thing you would see in retail or in like the food business is Lay's. They used to do their annual flavor competition. I don't know if you remember that. And people would submit all the flavors, and then there would be
some crazy
voting
flavors.
Yeah, it'd be a voting down process. But eventually products were created based on this process. So it was like a great little contest that got their community really engaged, but you know, it's giving them a behind the scenes in terms of how those flavors are created, what the production looks like. And then in the end, what's generated is what, you know, the users have essentially, raised their hand and been a part of the process. So I think we'll see that more in events. And I think associations have been on the lead of this because, you know, it's a lot of member involvement with selecting speakers, creating agendas. But I think you'll see it more in the corporate space and some of the experiential things that users and clients and members will have much more of a hand and involved in selecting the experience that they end up consuming.
Awesome. As someone in the marketing, you know, field, it is exciting to kind of start thinking about it in that way and start thinking of these really, you know, interesting ways to engage your audience and to survey them and, you know, get that kind of market research that, you know, I think is so desperately needed just so you can meet your attendees where they're at. So I love that you touched on all those things. I feel like I'm learning so much even as just an event professional as well. So this is amazing. But for everyone watching, if you were to leave event planners with one last piece of advice, if they were to walk away with one last tip from you, what is that message that you would like to share with them?
Oh, thanks, Crystal. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you by your last name.
That's okay. I like it.
But in terms of one piece of advice, kind of pulling back to the entrepreneurial mindset, is your career is your own and it's what you make of it. So don't allow your job to dictate that. Don't allow your family to dictate that. Don't allow your location, anything to dictate what your career is. If there's anything that you feel is missing, if there's anything that you want to explore, find a way to do that regardless of your circumstance. I think it's really key that we take ownership of the things that we can control and kind of release the things that we can't. So whatever there is in terms of there's personal development you want, if there's skill sets that you want to develop, if there's actual work that you want that you don't have currently, it's up to you to go out and find it. And, you know, and alongside with that, parallel with that is really find out what people know you for in the industry. What when your name comes up in the industry, what are you known for? And if it's not something you want to be known for, change it in terms of what you're an expert at, what you're good at, what your personality is, what your brand is. You know, do that research to find out what's currently out there about you and control that narrative. If you want to be known as, you know, a event tech evangelist, then you need to make sure that everything you're putting out in the market shows that you have that skill set and also demonstrates, you know, that you really are. You've got the credibility, you've got the credentials. And then that's, you know, what people say about you. And if you want people to see you as a friendly, jovial person, then that's the brand that you need to put out into the market. So just taking control of the narrative of, you know, your niche and your skill set, but also your brand.
Oh, I love that. And so actionable too. I feel like there's, you know, things that people could walk away today and go do that and go, you know, post something on their LinkedIn that supports that narrative that they're trying to control. Definitely makes me curious what my personal brand is, what is thought of when my name comes up. So I'll have to do that research and get back to you. But right. For anyone that wants tips on how to do that, again, highly recommend checking out Deanna's LinkedIn. I feel like you're so good at that with your personal brand. So
thank you.
Definitely want to direct people there. But yes, again, thank you so much for being on today. Just a wealth of knowledge, and you definitely changed my perspective on some things, which is always a fun day for me. I love learning new things. But where else can people find you? What would be the best way to connect if someone else has additional questions or wants to follow up with you?
Yeah. So my website is deannacamille.com. So my business is basically my first and middle name. So DEANNACAMILLE.com. or you can email me, Deanna@deannacamille.com. And I'm on LinkedIn all the time. So I know Sarah dropped that in the comments. So feel free to contact me on LinkedIn. I pretty much accept all requests as long as you don't seem like a spam or a bot, or you're not going to open with a sales request. That's kind of my parameters.
I love it. I'm the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Well, again, Deanna, thank you so much for coming on today. We'll have to have you back just because you are so full of knowledge about the industry. And thank you too to everyone who tuned in. It's awesome to be back doing these lives with you. So we will be back again soon for some more hashtag event icons content, and we will see everybody soon.
Thanks, Sarah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on hashtag Event Icons.